Well, Father, I truly do thank you right now. And I give you all honor and all glory. And my children, you have seen nothing yet. You look at my servant and you wonder what she's talking about. You're going to see what she's talking about, because I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm going to let you see what's going on in heavenly places. I'm going to show you the warfare that's truly going on, that you hear about but you can't quite believe. I'm going to show you what you do when you strike the rock. I'm going to show you what you do when you tear down the principalities and raise up righteousness. My church has become a people of cold hearts and indifference to everything around about them. But I have a few that I'm going to open up your eyes, and you're going to see the truth as the truth is. And then you're going to go forth just like my son Jesus, just like Paul and Silas, and you're going to preach the word no matter what the consequences are. I have you already picked out. And I'm getting ready to open your eyes to see into the spiritual realm instead of looking at the natural every second of every day. You are who I've called you forth to be. Now be strong towers and win the lost to me. Father, I thank you for speaking to us right now. I thank you for these people came out just excited to be in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that you accepted our praise and worship this morning, and you sent your angelic host to sup with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I entitled this as Signs of the Times, and this is God, what God dictated for me to give to you. The signs of the times are upon you. I am moving in unprecedented ways at this given time. All will know that I am God when I am finished. My angelic hosts are at their post, waiting for my instructions to set the captives free. No more waiting, no more lingering around, just pure, unadulterated glory. We are on the very cusp of one of the greatest things that God has ever done for the church. People are being plagued with darkness day in and day out. And I'm talking about the children of God. The enemy's throwing everything at us that he can throw to make us stop. But I look around, y'all haven't stopped yet. I think you've sunk your heels in and said, I'm in here for the long haul. And you're saying, devil, I don't care what you do. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's the only way you're sitting here today, as if you made that decision. God said, this glory shall fill the temple of my people. You have been waiting for this time and this season. Now it is upon you and will not leave. There is a perfect work that I need to accomplish through you with my glory, performing great signs, wonders, and miracles. All will know and see that my children are my children. There will be no more second guessing as to what I'm about. This glory carries all of heaven with it. I have spoken through my prophets that this day was coming, and many grew tired and weary, but now it is upon you. The river has overflowed its banks. Now, what did he say? The river has overflowed its banks. So I looked at Joshua 3:15, and it says, when the priests got to the Jordan and their feet touched the water at the edge, the Jordan overflows its bank throughout the harvest. Or if you're going to read that, the water stayed still. But what got me was the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest. And what are we in? The harvest of all these lost souls. And God is letting his river flow through us. And he's using us to bring in the harvest. And he, you know, those who are weak are going to be strong. And God said maybe a year ago, it's time for the last to be first, the first to be last. What he was saying was those who've been sitting in the house of church just doing absolutely nothing, he's walked away from them. And those who have come into the house with all of their, I heard him say baggage, in other words, their woundedness and, you know, and their neglect and everything they brought in the house of God. Those are the ones that God is going to touch, clean up, and use. Because the ones who sat in the church for years upon years upon years, they didn't change. You know, the teaching of the word did not change their attitudes or hearts or nothing. And so God is bringing in a people that he's going to clean up. And he's even going to use you in your brokenness. You won't even be totally cleaned up. He's going to use you in your brokenness. God said, no more wasted time, no more lurking in the shadows. The full manifestation of my glory is upon the earth. See, he says, is. Not is going to be, but is. So it's here. Remember, he told us the glory is in this church. We have to act on the fact that it is already here. We have to go out there with faith, with doing signs, wonders, and miracles. We have to do this. God is not always going to do. God goes on to say, all will understand from whence cometh their help. This glory period will usher in the second coming of my son, Jesus. The harvest will be brought in, and all will see that my mighty hand did the works. No man will receive the glory for what I am doing. That's one of the problems with the churches today. Man wants to be magnified. Man wants to be receive all the accolades of what God is doing in a church. It's not man. You know, I can't make God's holy angels come into this church. I can't make the floor vibrate. I can't make you change your heart. Only God can do that. Amen? You will see an upheaval. Is that what I meant? You will see an upheaval occurring in the government. I am removing the darkness from the capital and bringing in pure holiness and pure righteousness. There will be no more deception in my government. I am cleaning the house of all corruption. I have spoken this in the past, and now it shall be accomplished. I'm going to vindicate those who have been wrongly accused. They shall go forth unobstructed by the darkness. God said, you will hear wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. Continue on your journey that I have placed your feet upon, and do the great and mighty works of bringing in the harvest. He said, work while there is still time, because the day is coming when no man can work. And in John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This verse is incredibly important because it contains a strong admonition for every serious Christian. This verse is telling us we don't have time to just linger around the pool any longer. We have to get into that pool of God's glory, and we have to start working right now. Too many people are just waiting. Well, the glory is going to change me. It will, but the glory is already here, and you're not changed. So God is now waiting on you. He's waiting on you to believe for whatever it is you need in your life. He has the glory here, and the glory will do great and mighty works. It will. You have to step into it. You have to claim your victory. You have to claim your healing. You have to claim your financial blessing. God is waiting for you to ask, and then you can receive. God said, my kingdom is without measure, and the Godhead's fullness is working mightily to bring all things to pass. The darkness is overwhelming, and the gross darkness has covered the earth for one purpose, to usher in the second coming of my son, Jesus. I would so like to teach enough, but I so can't. You know, the darkness has to be here in order for the Bible to be fulfilled. All the evil that's here has to be here in order for the fulfiller of things so Jesus can come back again. I have studied, and I could really do a good teaching on that, but God doesn't want me to do that because he doesn't want you concentrating on when Jesus is going to come, because none of us know that. Jesus doesn't even know that. Only God knows when he's going to send his son back the second time. So we are to concentrate, well, is God coming tomorrow? Is he coming this second? We are to concentrate on the souls that need to be won to Christ before Jesus comes back the second time. Some of you, you know, God has really revealed a lot of things to me recently, things I, you know, need to keep to myself. But he'll do the very same thing to each one of you if you really get your teeth sunk into Jesus and really love him with all your heart, serve him with all your heart. He's going to start revealing things to you, too. But you're too busy, still steeped in your sins, and still wondering why God isn't doing something. You know, we could wonder why until the, you know, earth is gone. We aren't supposed to sit down and wonder why Jesus isn't doing something. We need to say, why am I not going out there in the highways and the byways? Why am I not compelling the people to come in? We aren't having nursery this morning because one of the children are sick upstairs. We can't put other children up there. All right. Then God said, children, you have worked long and hard. You stayed the course and did not waver, even though you did not understand what I was asking you to do. If you're really following God, you'll say that. God told you to do something. You didn't understand one bit what he was saying, but you went ahead and obeyed, and you did it. You might not even seen any results from doing it. God might have been just working on, will you obey me when I ask you to do something? All right? But the time has come upon my people when they will know everything, even before it occurs. This is a wicked and perverse generation that you live in, and I am using you to dispel the darkness around about. So God said himself, this is a wicked and perverse generation that you live in, but he's using you to dispel the darkness around about. Like, I am so sick of this wicked, perverse generation that I've been really praying really extra hard for God to come and, you know, and really do the things he said he's going to do, because I am sick and tired of what's going on in the world, in the prison systems, in the government, just in daily living. You know, the food's going to be gone. You know, there's all kind of things coming down the road. They're trying to get us to, you know, the gas situation. Who's going to help you in your time of need? If you aren't serving God, nobody's going to help you in your time of need. God told us over a year ago, he's when this, all this stuff is coming down, and those who were truly serving him wouldn't have to worry about a thing because he was going to take care of them. Excuse me. Now, I don't know where your heart is. You can tell me anything you want to, but I don't know unless God tells me. But you and God know where your heart is. You can't fool God. He sees and knows all things, right? So you go ahead and keep on fooling yourself if you want. But when the wickedness, I'm hearing God say, when the wickedness truly takes over, you have no place to go to. God goes on to say, those I am bringing into the house of worship will be great warriors. They will tear down the principalities and wickedness that linger all around. And that's Joel chapter 2. Where the enemy has spread confusion, these new warriors will break down the barricades of chaos and bring peace and clarity. Aren't you excited about that statement? I am so tired of coming into a house of God and seeing the same old junk over and over and over again, singing about the glory of God and about the wonderful things he would do, but never doing it. These warriors, these new people, it could be you girls, if you so desire. But, you know, these people are going to come in and they're going to say, I've had enough of that. I want heaven. And they know what they suffered out there. And they don't want to suffer it no more. So they're going to tell the devil where he can go, and he's going to know that they mean exactly what they're saying. Come on. Every one of you sitting there, you know, until you really got serious with God, the devil kept harassing you. He knows when you're serious and when you're not, and he'll harass you as long as you sit around and just play games. He loves playing games. You guys that get on these stupid games on your computers, you need to be in God's face, seeking God's face, not playing games. That's time wasted. I've done lost my place. All right, God said, you will hear the rumble in the streets. You will hear the sound of the great explosions. You will be partakers of the fire and the blood. Then he said, you are the great army in Joel, and you will do all that I said you would do. Let's go back where he said you will hear the rumble in the streets, and he showed me that that was all the confusion that's going on out there. You will hear the sound of the great explosions, and he told me this is as he tears down the kingdom. You know, God himself tears down the kings and kingdom of darkness, uncovers all the sin. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on out there. All right. Then he said, you will be partakers of the fire and the blood. And when he said that, I thought about how somebody saw the angel with the fireballs, I think it was Nancy, being thrown at us people. You know, we're covered with the fire of God, and we're covered with the blood of Jesus, and we're going to be unstoppable. But your heart has to be right with God. You can't sin one day and then the next day be saved. That does not work like that. My grandson and I had a big discussion about that the other night. You have to be saved and stay saved. You can't go out here and sleep with somebody or cuss and carry on and drink and do drugs and say you're saved. You're not saved when you do that kind of stuff. Because if you're truly saved, you wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. Your heart would be convicted. All right, you will be partakers of the fire and the blood. You are the great army in Joel, and you will, not shall, will do all that I said you would do. Right now, somebody in here, you're upset with me, and you're fighting against me, and that's why God's getting adamant about your sin nature. So quit fighting against me. I'm just the messenger. All right, fight with God when you go home. All right, there will be no lack for my people. See what he says, for I shall supply all their needs according to my riches and glory. You read that in Philippians 4:19. They will want for nothing. They won't even ask for anything. They know who their Redeemer is, and they will draw on his strength. Who is your Redeemer? God, right? Jesus, whatever. You'll draw on him for what you have need of. I always remember the story of Brother Shambach, and you know, their father died or left or something, and they had their 12 children. Their mother wasn't working because she had 12 children to keep. And every day she would set the table, make everybody sit down at the table, pray and thank God for his provision. And Brother Shambach thought she was crazy. He said, and after she was through praying, a knock would come to the door and somebody would be there with a full meal for all 13 of them, 12 kids and her. And they sat down and had delicious meals. She trusted in her maker. Y'all be running around, I don't know why God doesn't do something for me. Well, put a plate and a knife and fork and table and sit down. And wait for the door. Somebody knock on your door. Amen. You know, these are the days ahead when you're not going to have anything. How about whenever in the Bible where the widow was going to die, and the prophet come and said, get as many buckets as you can and take a little bit of oil you have and just keep pouring in these buckets. The oil never ran dry, did it? Then he said, now live on that. You know, God provided for this widow and her son. Why do you think these stories are in the Bible? You don't know your Bible to begin with. You don't know they're there. But why do you think they're in there? They're in there to show you what God wants to do for you. All right. You know, they're saying they're going to take all of our money. You're thinking, well, I've got my money laid up and I won't be in that position. But they're saying they're just going to come in and wipe out our bank accounts. So what are you going to do with that empty bank account? You're going to have God fill it up. Right. All right. Jeremiah, is that where am I at? Brand new warfare, brand new vessels of honor. See that? Brand new. Warfare and brand new vessels of honor. Not going to use the old vessels that didn't want to work in the past. Children, you have been nothing. You have seen nothing yet. All of creation has been groaning for this hour in church history. And now it is upon you and will not stop until it accomplishes all I have sent it forth to accomplish. It will what? Not stop until it is accomplished all that God sent it forth to accomplish. That could be happening in your own home life too. It could be happening with your children. you know, God promised you he's going to do something, but yet things are, you know, either you or your children are not lined up yet to what his word, and he's still going to give you your promise, but he's waiting on you to straighten up. He's waiting on you to get your act together before he gives you the promise he said he would give you. And I know that to be a fact. Jeremiah 12:4 says, how long will the land mourn and the grass of every field be withered because of the evil of its residents? The animals and birds have been swept away, for the people have said he cannot see what our end will be. Why is all this happening? Because of its residents. Who was its residents? You and I. Jeremiah 12:11, they have made it a desolation. Now, desolate before me, it mourns. All the land is laid waste, but no man takes it to heart. God told me whenever I was first born again that we are living in the days of Noah, and that was 77. And I'm quite sure we're living in the days of Noah before 77. So we're still living in the days of Noah, right? And Matthew 27:37 says, Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the days of Noah were filled with violence and God's judgment. What's going on today? Violence and God's judgment. We're living in the days of Noah. And one day, Jesus is going to appear in that cloud with the other angels, and he's going to whisk away those who are truly his, and everybody else is going to be here. What happened in the days of Noah? When the final day came, Jesus came and told Noah, get in the ark. Jesus shut the door, and everybody was trying to get in. Only Noah, his wife, and his children went in. Whole world was drowned. They were beating, let me in, let me in, let me in. But God did not open the door and let them in. God keeps giving us the story about the 10 virgins. You know, 5 had oil, 5 didn't. And the 5, whenever the bridegroom came, they didn't have any oil. They went out to get oil, but while they were going, the door was shut. So, you know, God has been telling us, get it together now. Don't wait until it's happening and then get it together. If you don't get saved now, tomorrow may be too late. And I don't care if you get saved or not. And I'm being honest, not being ignorant, just honest, because I'm just supposed to give you the word. And then you do with that word whatever you want to do with it. I'm not held accountable for your salvation. I'm not. You're accountable for your own salvation. And the word of God says, work out your salvation. How? Daily. You can't give your heart to God one day and then continue to act the way you did, thinking you're going to be saved. Now, that's not true. Too many pastors have preached that, and they're causing people to go to hell. All right, the people practiced many things that God disapproved of, which is why God told Noah to build an ark. I should have read that before I got to talking. The people, when days of Noah, the people practiced many things that God disapproved of. Is that happening today? Of course it is. Right in the house of God. You'll see everything that's in the world is right in the house of God, even in the pulpits. That's why God told us a while back, if you can't live it, don't preach it behind this pulpit. Don't preach a word that you don't live behind this pulpit. All right, Noah and his family were teased and belittled by others as they worked. Thus, as in the days of Noah, refers to living a hard-working, faithful, and godly life while all around you do otherwise. You know, you could be the only one in your family who's saved. Stay saved. You know, you're the one that's going, you don't want to go to hell, so why should you just do what they're doing and go to hell with them? Stay saved. Don't live like they live. You don't have to be ignorant about it. You just know what you're supposed to be doing. Do what you're supposed to be doing. And then when you stand before God, you know, you're not going to be held accountable for their blood. It's not going to be in your hands because you lived, you told them about Jesus. You lived the life before them. What they did with it was totally up to them. What happens in the body of Christ, too many people want whoever hurt them to be hurt also. Then they'll get saved. That it doesn't work that way. God said, I will vindicate you in due time. You keep serving God and pray for those who hurt you. The Bible tells us to do that. Pray for those who hurt you and despitefully use you. You know, and don't talk about them. Don't walk over them. Pray for them. And you go on and you live the life you're supposed to live for God. All right, Matthew 24:15, abomination of desolation. This is something else God told me when I was first saved. It is most often used to describe idolatrous worship practices, especially those most offensive to a sense of decency and morality. Now, God told me, whenever he told me about Noah, and then he told me to read about the abomination of desolation, and he said this is where the world was at. All right. Now, abomination is a foul thing, loathsome on account of its stench, a detestable thing. So an abomination is something that is abhorrent and detestable to God and his people. Desolation, to destroy, lay waste, devastate, to be astonished, something so horrible that it can leave a person speechless. And I didn't understand the abomination of desolation, this book of it, and you know. And so God told me to read it, and so I've been studying it. Now I understand it. He was telling me, you're in a world that's messed up. And everything they shouldn't be doing, they are doing. The people of God knew to do right, they aren't doing right. Pastors are leading the people down the wrong road. Why are they doing it? They're doing that because they themselves are in sin. And so therefore they don't preach about it, or they twist it when they do preach it. This is happening to evangelists, even you people sitting in the seat. You tell somebody, oh, I'm saved, I met Jesus, but yet you're still living a, you know, partially saved life, if there is such a thing. I don't think there is. You know, you're professing Jesus, but yet you're in sin. And God said this is a deadly consequence for you if you continue down that path. Now, the signs of the end times are upon us. If you really look at everything around about us, the signs of the end times are here. God has been preparing his people for the second coming of Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus can't come back again until every creature has preached the gospel. Isn't that what the word says? So we know he's not coming back today. Not come back tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming back. But we are supposed to be working and being about his business, getting souls saved. Not getting yourself rich, but getting souls saved, living a godly life, and being an example of what Jesus... Don't just tell them about Jesus. Be an example of what Jesus is like. The body of Christ is not doing that. It is not. And don't you think it's time that we change? Don't you think it's time that we let go of our anger and our bitterness and our, you know, or whatever we carry around with us? Let it go. And just serve God so you can be a true example of what God is really about. I get angry with my two boys every now and then. And one of them questioned me about, well, you think you're going to go to heaven? I said, no, I don't. No, I don't. What about your anger? Well, Jesus himself was angry, and Jesus himself called the people names, right? But I said, I have to work out my salvation daily. I could get angry with them, and, you know, and the devil give me a heart attack, and I could drop dead and go straight to hell. I know that. Because God's often told me, daughter, you have to work out your salvation daily. That's why I preach it, because he continually tells me that. So don't go out there acting like you're God himself, because you might make a mistake and end up in hell. And so don't go out there acting like you're all that and then some, then sit in church and say, I don't do that. You will. You will. How many of you said, boy, I'll never do that? It might be 10 years down the road, but you do. So don't ever even say that. just say, by the grace of God. That could be me going there. That's what I always say. Because I know it's only the grace of God that keeps me the way he does. I know it's nothing I can do on my own. And I know it's because I lay my life in his hands every day. Sometimes more than once. And he keeps me. I'm hearing him say, I'll keep all my children covered that truly want to follow me with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding. How many of you in here this morning, you know that you know that you know that you're really not living. I don't care if you sit in the house of God. I don't care if you talk about Jesus, but you're not living for Jesus. You might think, I'm hearing God say this, so don't throw anything at me. You might think in your pea brain that you're serving me with all your heart, but you're not. Your heart has to be sold out to me 100%. So this morning, the altar's open for those of you who you know that you know that you know that your heart isn't sold out to God 100%. You know you're still lingering alongside the cesspool, you know, and doing things that you think other people don't see you doing. But you want to get rid of that this morning. You really want to serve God with all of your heart. Let's just bring up the young man that just got killed the other day. He was on his way home, happy as a bug in a rug. He never thought that was going to be his last breath. See, we don't know that either. You could go out there and somebody could hit you. You know, and then you die just like that. And what's going to happen to you? Are you going to go to heaven? Are you really, truly sold out to God 100%? Are you really being just like Jesus?